In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have sung during this Holy Week to our Lord, "By thy sufferings thou hast freed us from suffering." And that might not be the best translation of that hymn, because we have translated it elsewhere, "By thy passion thou hast freed us from the passions," that with the understanding that the offering of our Lord gives us the potential to become holy, to become saints, to become not enslaved to passions, to the passions of the flesh, the sinful inclinations of the flesh. But indeed, some might think that Christ suffers so we don't have to suffer. That's simply not the teaching that the Church gives to us. That we speak of co-suffering. As Father Schmemann says, there's nothing magical in Christ's suffering. In human terms, there's nothing more difficult. There is no effort more impossible and beyond one's strength than to transform suffering into a self-offering that Christ suffered. And we are called not to therefore not have to suffer, but our suffering in this life is joined to His. Yes, we want God to heal us, to end our suffering, and not to transform it. We want from Him what the crowds wanted when they saw Christ, the healer, who would abolish suffering. But again, Christ did not abolish suffering. He made suffering into a possibility for life. Bishop Callistos Ware said, "Christ's death upon the cross is not a failure, which was somehow put right afterwards by His resurrection. In itself, the death upon the cross is a victory." Is a victory. The victory of what? There can be only one answer. The victory of suffering love. The victory of suffering love. The cross shows us a love that is as strong as death, a love that is even stronger than death. St. John introduces his account of the Last Supper and of the Passion with these words, "Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end." To the end. To the uttermost. When Christ says, "It is finished," this is to be understood not as a cry of resignation or despair, but as a cry of victory. It is finished. It is completed. It is accomplished. It is fulfilled. What has been fulfilled? Says Bishop Callistos. We reply, the work of suffering love. The victory of love over hatred. Because of love, He created the world. Because of love, He was born into this world as a man. Because of love, He took up our broken humanity into Himself and made it His own. Because of love, He identified Himself with all our distress. Because of love, He offered Himself as a sacrifice, choosing at Gethsemane to go voluntarily to His passion. "I lay down my life for my sheep. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself." It was willing love, not exterior compulsion, that brought Jesus to His death. At His agony in the garden and at His crucifixion, the forces of darkness assail Him with all their violence, but they cannot change His compassion into hatred. They cannot change His love from continuing to be itself. His love is tested to the furthest point, but it is not overwhelmed. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. To Christ's victory upon the cross, we may reply with the words spoken by a Russian priest on his release from prison camp, "Suffering has destroyed all things. One thing alone has stood firm. It is love. It is love. And so, brothers and sisters, this is the witness of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The victory of his suffering love upon the cross does not merely set me an example, showing me what I myself might achieve by my own efforts. Rather, much more than this, his suffering love has a creative effect upon me, transforming my own heart and will, releasing me from bondage, making me whole, rendering it possible for me to love in a way that would lie altogether beyond my powers had I not first been loved by Jesus Christ. Because in love he has identified himself with me, his victory is my victory. And so Christ's death upon the cross is truly, as the Liturgy of St. Basil describes, a life-creating death. A life-creating death. Brothers and sisters, Christ's suffering and death have then an objective value. He has done something for us we should be altogether incapable of doing without him. At the same time, we should not say that Christ has suffered instead of us, but rather that he has suffered on our behalf. Not instead of us, but on our behalf. The Son of God suffered unto death, not that we might be exempt from suffering, but that our suffering might be like his. Christ offers us not a way around suffering, but a way through it. Not a way around suffering, but a way through it. Not substitution, but saving companionship. God came to suffer humanly with us, for us, together with us, so that our sufferings might in some way be honored and glorified and united to his suffering and indeed made salvific. By his passion, we have been freed from passion. By his suffering, we have the potential to transform our suffering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory be to Jesus Christ. Amen.